What is the thing you love most in your life? In Abraham's case, it was Isaac. What is it in your case? Is it your job, your money, your house, your car, or some ambition you have? Or in my case, is it my eldership? The fact that I'm an elder of a church, do I love that so much? A lot of elders do, I'm sorry to say that. It means so much to them that I'm an elder of a church. The Lord says, give it up, lay it on the altar. The only man who can be a successful elder is the one who's laid that lust for eldership on the altar and say, Lord, I have no interest in that. It's on the altar. It's yours. I will not hold on to anything. My palm is always open. Everything. Position, honor, wealth, money. Give it up. That which you love. Instead of Isaac, you say that. Put it in your case. I don't know what it is. But this is where the fear of God begins. That which you love the most. Is it food? Is it sleep? I don't know what it is. It's different in different cases. But you cannot say you fear God if you don't lay that on the altar. You cannot say you're going to be a worshiper if you don't lay that on the altar. This is where it begins. That which you love. I mean, the Lord could have said, just take Isaac. But he emphasized, this one whom you love so much, take him and offer him on the land of Moriah in a mountain I'll tell you of. There are a lot of things we can learn if you meditate. You know, if you rush through scripture, you miss something. But if you go slowly through scripture and read, you say, listen, as I read through further, it says in verse 4, it's on the third day that he reached Moriah. So Moriah was 3 days' journey. Imagine if you had to walk from here. How far do you have to go to walk 3 days? 72 hours from here, you take a walk. Abraham could have used his reason. Say, Lord, why in the world do you want me to go that far? I'll offer Isaac. Sure, let him do it around the corner. Why in the world do I have to go 3 days away to offer it? Those are little things, but I've learned something from that, that I can't use my reason when God tells me to do something. To me, it may sound stupid or unreasonable. The main thing is to offer Isaac, right? Why does it have to be 3 days away? Why can't I do it here? The man who fears God does not listen to his other voices of his own apparent intelligence and cleverness. Lord, if you've said it, I do it. I've seen that in little commands in scripture which look so insignificant and unimportant. Lord, you told me to do it, I'll do it. Simple. For example, a simple thing like women veiling their heads or men not veiling their heads. I don't know. To me, I don't know the full reason, but God says I do it. Why should it be 3 days away? My reason says, why not here? A man who fears God doesn't ask such questions. If God has said it, I'm going to do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And don't lean on your own cleverness. Have you read that verse? Proverbs 3, is it verse 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own cleverness trying to explain God's commands. You will go astray. It's the opposite of faith, leaning upon our own cleverness. So Abraham did not argue. The man who fears God doesn't argue with, should I do it 3 days away or do it around the corner? And he simply obeyed and went. And the other thing I see here is, when he finally reached that place, he doesn't boast to his servants who travel with him, hey fellas, you know, I'm going to make a great sacrifice today. To give a testimony, to get some honor for yourself. The man who fears God does not. He tries to cover it up. The man who fears God will cover up his sacrifices. The sacrifices he makes in secret to God so that nobody knows about it. We're just going to worship. Why you stopped here, Abraham? Well, we're just going to, mountain is a good place to worship. So I thought Isaac and I will go up there and worship. That's what he said. Here was a man who was going to make the greatest sacrifice of his entire life. And he doesn't mention a word about it to his servants. And even when he came back, he didn't mention it. The servants thought, oh, they just went up there, worshiped God, had a good time and came back. Little did they know that there on the top of the mountain, Abraham virtually gave up his life completely. For Isaac was that. And you know why God chose this? God was so delighted with this. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles in chapter 3. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, the Lord had told David to tell Solomon where his temple must be built. The place, the only place on earth where God was going to meet with man. Nowadays God meets with men everywhere, but in the days of Israel, in the old covenant, there was only one place on earth where God met with man. Where his presence was, the fire of God was on that temple, and that was in chapter 3 verse 1 on Mount Moriah. That's the mountain where Abraham offered up Isaac. When Abraham did that, that was the reason why God said, go there. That's where I'm going to build the temple one day. He couldn't have chosen any place he liked. And that became so sacred to God, I mean, in God's eyes, that he said, a place where a man offered the very best that he had to me, that's the place where I'll build my church. That's what he says even today. There are many, many people who have gatherings of people which they call churches. Methodist church, Baptist church, church of this place, church of that place. But the real church is only built by people who understood this principle. The temple is built on Mount Moriah where Abraham feared God. Offered up the very best that he had to him. Show me a man or a woman who will offer to God the very best at all times, and I'll show you a man or a woman whom God will use to build the church. And if you ever see a man or a woman whom God uses to build his church, you can be pretty sure in their private life there have been some Mount Moriah somewhere, more than one perhaps, where they had secret transactions with God which nobody knows, which God noticed. And said, I'll build my church. God can use any of us. There's no partiality with them. They're all the same. Even women are the same. God can use anyone. But he's not going to use people who don't have those secret transactions of sacrifice with him. No. Those who just understand the doctrine and say, I've understood the new covenant, or come and like to sing songs and be part of the fellowship, and CCF is a nice club. We all love one another. You may discover when Christ comes again, you did pretty well nothing to build the church. You just joined a good church and had a good time. God wants every one of us to have an active part in building the church, and that can only be possible if we fear God. And it also says here, it's also in the place, Mount Moriah, and the exact spot is where David offered an offering on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. So when I read something like that, I go to the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite and see what did David do there. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 24. I'll tell you something. When God sees you're very diligent in studying the scripture, he'll reveal truths to you that nobody else ever knows. I've discovered some amazing things like that. And I see that here is the place where David came to the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite in 2 Chronicles 24. In verse 18 onwards, where the Lord told him, go to the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. That's where the temple was going to be built in David's son Solomon's time. And this is the place where Arauna said, you don't have to buy anything, David. I'll give you the oxen free. I'll give you the wood free. You don't have to pay a cent for the sacrifice. And David said, no, I'm going to pay for it. Verse 24, I will surely pay for it. Whatever your cost, tell me, I'm not going to take it free from you, because if I offer something free to God, which I got freely, it'll cost me nothing. I will not offer to God, verse 24, that which costs me nothing. I'll give you a little testimony. When one of the first things I did soon after, a year and a half after I was converted, was get baptized in water. And about a year and a half after that, I began to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Way back in 1963, which is nearly 60 years ago. And I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not to speak in tongues, but to be effective in speaking God's word. And God, one of the words God gave me at that time was 2 Samuel 24:24. I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. And I felt as the Lord saying to me, never in your life offer to me that which costs you nothing. And I almost swore to God that day that I will never offer to him anything cheap. I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. If I offer something to God, whether it's my service or my time or my energy, it must cost me something. It must cost me time. It must cost me money. It must cost me my sleep. It must cost me something. And if it costs me nothing, just like I'm like everybody else and I just hang along, just go around and sing a few songs and share a few words and say that's serving God. It's a lot of garbage. It won't count. Dear brothers and sisters, I recommend that to you. Say to God, I will never offer to you that which costs me nothing. You'll find a tremendous difference in your life if you take it seriously. That's the place where the temple was built. That's the place where Abraham proved that he feared God. And that's the place where David proved that he feared God. How do they prove it? By saying, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. This is the fear of God.